Tonight's reading is from the book of Revelation, and it's chapter 5, and it's verses 1 to 14. The scroll and the lamb. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center before the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God members of every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God. And they will reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honour and glory and power for ever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. This is the word of the Lord.
So we're continuing our series on mission, No Other Name. And this evening we're going to be thinking especially about good news from around the world. Because our media is so often full of not so good news or even bad news. We see terrible images of war, torture, distress, famine, disease. And that is part of the truth of what's going on in our broken world. But we don't get to hear so much about what God is doing among the nations, how his church is growing in some of the most unlikely places. And so tonight we want to share just a few of those good news stories that we're aware of from our work and connections in Asia. But first of all, a few thoughts about that tremendous Bible passage that we've just had read to us. I wonder when you open a book or a novel, whether sometimes you turn to the end to see how it finishes, if it's a whodunit to actually find out who did do it, and then go back and read. Sometimes I do that. And Revelation, the final book of the Bible, is a bit like that. It allows us to turn to the end to see how it all finishes. And one of the things we find in this extraordinary, beautiful, wonderful passage from Revelation 5, it gives us a glimpse of one of the results of what Jesus has done on the cross, what his death accomplished. John, who wrote this book of Revelation hears these words being spoken about Jesus. Just to make it clear, Jesus is the Lamb, Jesus is the Lion, Jesus is the root, the descendant of David. And John says of him, "You are worthy to take the scroll." And what is that scroll? A lot has been written about that, but it seems to symbolize the plans and purposes that God has for his creation. Who is able to carry forward, to put into action the things that God has planned and purposed? It really matters. And John weeps and weeps because no one seems to be able to do that. But the angel says, "Don't weep, because Jesus has done it. You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God people from every tribe and language and people and nation." It's a great declaration of what Jesus has done through his death, through his victorious resurrection. Jesus has reconstituted the people of God. No longer just one ethnic group, the Jews, but people from every tribe, every language, every nation. And the rest of the book of the Revelation gives us that great vision of a vast crowd of people praising God round the throne, every tongue, every people, every nation. It reminds us, doesn't it, of that great commission of Jesus at the end of Matthew's gospel: "Go and make disciples of all nations." And then the promise, "I am with you always." And how is that great commission to be worked out in our day? Well, it's not about the West going to the rest. It's increasingly about people from everywhere going everywhere. The church is growing most in the global South, and today's sent people are as likely to come from South Korea or India or Kenya or Brazil as they are from this country or America or Australia. And of course, today people and peoples are on the move as they never have been before. Maybe because of wars or persecutions, or perhaps just for economic reasons. And many people are recognizing that this is a time of real opportunity for the church to fulfill our commission to make disciples of all nations, because God's bringing the nations to us. This evening we'd like to share just a few examples of the ways that churches in different countries have been responding to the reality of people on the move and migrants on our doorstep. So, shall I hand over to you at this point? Yeah, why not? Good.
In case you were wondering what I was doing standing up here, we are going to do a kind of double act this evening. So Graham and I have been mission partners with Interserve for the past 20 years, working first of all in Mongolia and then for a couple of years in Malaysia. Interserve's vision is to see lives and communities transformed through encounter with Jesus Christ. Somewhat familiar sounding, a bit like our vision at St. Giles. It's been around as a mission organisation for about 160 years now, and it works across Asia and the Arab world in a variety of different ministries. And for the past few years, Graham has been seconded to the Increase Association, whose aim is to connect and strengthen church-based training programs across Asia. Most of those training programs are using something called TEE, which we like to describe as Tools to Equip and Empower. It's a discipleship tool for churches to use, which combines home Bible study, weekly group meetings, and practical application, helping people to grow in faith and to live that faith out wherever they are. So the stories we're going to share tonight come through our personal connections with Interserve and with the Increase Association, and they're really just a few examples of what God is doing much more widely across the world. So first of all, we're going to think about Malaysia, Serena's homeland. Malaysia sits there in Southeast Asia, an economically prosperous country and a majority Muslim country, 60% Muslim and around 10% Christian. Some of the bad news you might have seen about Malaysia would have been the disappearance of flight MH370 a couple of years ago. Or perhaps it would have been the scandal of corruption in high places. Maybe it would have been something to do with the fact that sharing the Christian faith with anyone who is ethnically a Malay is strictly illegal. And at least one Christian pastor we're aware of disappeared a couple of years ago after attempting to do that. But there is good news. Malaysia's population is ethnically mixed. Try saying that in a hurry. Ethnically mixed. Ethnic Malays are the majority, but there are also a number of indigenous peoples, and many ethnic Chinese and ethnic Indian people have lived in Malaysia for many generations. So although there are no known churches, or visible churches anyway, among ethnic Malays, there are many large and lively churches like this one, particularly among ethnically Chinese Malaysians. And these churches are very actively seeking ways to impact the society around them, including those from other countries and ethnic backgrounds who've been moving to Malaysia in recent years. Because it is economically prosperous, Malaysia is attracting large numbers of migrant workers from different parts of Asia. Migrant workers from Indonesia, from Nepal, from Myanmar, Bangladesh, Vietnam, the Philippines, Cambodia, and Pakistan. There are also people who fled to Malaysia from other places where they were being persecuted, sometimes because of their Christian faith, such as from Pakistan. One of the exciting things for us about being in Malaysia has been seeing people getting a vision for how this discipleship tool called TEE can be a useful tool in reaching out to these migrant peoples. Here's a group who's just completed a one-day workshop in learning how to use TEE courses to reach out and to disciple the peoples around them. In this group were people wanting to use TEE in Tamil and Hindi, both Indian languages, in Nepali language, in Burmese, in Chinese and English, and even in Farsi for Iranians. One of the largest migrant groups of migrant workers in Malaysia are Nepalis. There's probably between 800,000 to a million Nepalis in Malaysia, many of them working as security guards. They work really long hours, but they're finding time to study. And Nepali language TEE in Malaysia is really taking off. Here you see Martin and Rina, a wonderful Malaysian couple who are supporting and coordinating that work. And on a public holiday last year, there was an opportunity for a conference for those involved in Nepali groups. About 130 people came together. There are now about 30 different groups of Nepalis studying this discipleship course. About 200 people altogether. And there is so much more potential for growth. Martin said this recently. Beyond what we think and dream, the Lord is moving ahead and we are just trying to keep up. And there are many similar exciting developments with TEE for people from Myanmar and Pakistan also gathering speed. Now the different programs in different groups using TEE in Malaysia are coming together to form their own national program, which we hope will result in many more becoming disciple-making disciples and many more people praising God around the throne. Exciting times. Yes, there's bad news for Malaysia, but the good news is that its openness to receive people from other countries means that many are now being reached and discipled and trained in a way that might not have happened if they'd stayed in their home countries. People are on the move, and God is at work. There is good news.
The second country we'll look at for a little while is China. We do hear a lot about China in the news these days, whether it's about mainland China's pressure on Hong Kong, whether it's about China's economic power, lots about Huawei in the news, China's military power, increasing government control of both state and underground churches. In the past year, regulations to control Christian activity have increased. But the good news is that God has done and is doing amazing things with his church in China. You may know that it's estimated now that about 8% of China's population is Christian. And if you do your sums, that means around about 100 million Christians in China. Through the Increase Association, we've met this extraordinary couple. We'll call them Jack and Jane. They're Taiwanese-American, and they've used these discipleship and leadership training TEE tools to train so many people so that they can go on and use the tools for discipling and training in churches in China. In mainland China, they've had to tread carefully, and indeed in September 2012, Jack was meeting with a group of pastors in a church, and he moved behind the pulpit, and apparently that was the thing which made the difference, and straight away representatives from the relevant authorities pulled him in and sent him out, and he hasn't been back. But surprisingly, Jane has been free to continue. Anyway, here's one example of how God was at work using Jack and Jane. It's about a man called Brother Zhu. Brother Zhu came to our TEE class. He used to be a very high-ranking government official. At that time, he was just a new believer in Christ, and he took the very basic TEE discipleship course. And his life changed very obviously. He continued with further leadership training courses. After finishing them, he began to train others. And partly because of the position he had held, he was able to introduce that training over large areas. And he's blessed so many people. His life has changed so much, his personal life included. He's trained now about 180 other trainers and introduced the training over a wide area. That's in China itself. Of course, there are so many stories like that. And there are Chinese people all over the world. And Jack and Jane have been at work in some of those as well. They travel an extraordinary amount, which makes Jessica's air miles look like nothing really. And these are the countries that they and some of their co-workers have been involved with. They're nearly always traveling. So despite the pressure on Chinese Christians in China, there are many flourishing churches within China and around the world, many thousands of Chinese people being discipled. Not only that, but there's a growing mission movement within China itself. People who want to take the gospel out of China to unreached people groups. And one of those mission movements is called the Back to Jerusalem movement. Their focus is not Jerusalem as such, but to take the gospel to all the unreached people groups from the eastern provinces of China westwards towards Jerusalem. There are hundreds of unreached people groups within China itself. And as we think back to the vision of John, every tribe, every language, every people, every nation, let's pray for our Chinese brothers and sisters that they will fulfill their part in the Great Commission, and that because of their mission work, there will be people from those tribes around the throne.
And finally, we'd like to share something a bit closer to home, and that is what's been happening in Europe. As you're probably aware, migration is not such a new thing in Europe. For many years now, there have been Turks in Germany. There have been many African Arabs in France. And here in the UK, there were many who came to this country beginning after the Second World War and gathering pace in the 60s and 70s. But with so much unrest happening in the Middle East, the flood of refugees has been much more in the headlines in recent years. There has been bad news. Countries fearful of being flooded by refugees and closing their borders. Here's one from this week about Italy tightening up the rules on boats going out to rescue migrants trying to seek refuge in Italy. There have been many people who've drowned in the attempt to cross the seas. And there have been major challenges in some countries about accepting so many migrants as they have done. So where is the good news? Well, we want to give you just two examples this evening, but there would be so many more. In Austria, we have good friends, Ian and Elizabeth, who are also Interserve mission partners. And they also have Northampton connections because they're supported by Broadmead Baptist Church. So some of you may know them. They are now in Austria working with Syrian and Afghan and Iranian and other refugees who have found a home there. Ian has been using one of these TEE courses called Come Follow Me, which was written especially for believers from a Muslim background. He's been using that alongside Bible study on the book of James with a group of Afghans and Iranians and a Kurd. Here you'll see a picture of the men's group having just finished their study time and about to eat together. One of these men said, "I've learnt so much in the last few months. I'm so excited and I want to get closer to God. There are some things I don't understand, but I want to wrestle with and think about and understand them more so that I can walk more closely with Jesus." And here you'll see Elizabeth with a group of ladies again meeting around food, which is so important in so many Asian cultures. So amongst the bad news of refugees and the difficult situations they've left behind, we see that many are finding hope in Jesus, finding new purpose for life, finding excitement and a future and a hope. The second example is from Greece. You'll see here a map of the island of Lesbos, where there are a number of refugee camps. And we heard recently of a former Interserve mission worker in Afghanistan who's recently been making trips to Greece to work with work amongst refugees on that island. She wrote this a few weeks ago. "Indeed, God's presence was tangible to us and to the refugees. His spirit clearly at work in divine appointments, in conversations to open and hungry hearts, lighting up fearful, traumatized faces with smiles and hope." One man said he'd been brought up to believe all Christians were his enemies, but seeing and receiving loving service from Christians, these thoughts were breaking up inside him, and the Jesus message was going straight into his heart. Others testified to being glad that they'd come on this awful journey on dinghies and very unsafe boats, leaving everything behind because they had found Jesus, the best thing in the world. So there is bad news, Bad news that people have had to flee their homes because of war and persecution and oppression. And bad news that they've had to make often perilous journeys to find safety in Europe. But there is good news too, that somehow through it all, God is opening hearts to the gospel and bringing people to know him. We don't know where the future will lead these people and what impact they will have for Jesus in the places that he leads them to. But we can give thanks for their lives and pray for them in what lies ahead. People are on the move. God is at work. There is good news.
Yes, it's extraordinary what God can do in refugee camps. When I was in Vietnam, I heard stories of how people during the Vietnamese War had ended up in refugee camps in Thailand. They'd been encountered by Jesus, had met them there. They'd gone to the States. They'd had a firm grounding in their Christian faith. And then years later, they'd come back and were now planting churches and being pastors in Vietnam. Amazing stories. So, the vision of Revelation chapter 5 gives us a glimpse of that great day when every tribe, every tongue, every people, every language purchased by God will be round the throne praising God. How can we be involved in this task now? What is God doing among the people we know who are on the move? I wonder who you know who has been displaced. I wonder which people from which ethnic groups you know and work with or see once a week or so. I wonder how God could use you to touch their lives. I wonder what opportunities we have. I wonder what God's going to do through those links with the university. I wonder what students God's going to send. I wonder what countries they'll be from. I wonder what people groups they'll be from. I wonder which of us will have opportunity to meet them, begin to see the world through their eyes, have opportunity to talk to them about Jesus. I wonder who'll be round the throne on that day because God has given us the privilege of making friends with them and building bridges and allowing the Spirit of God to minister to them through us. I wonder what God will do. That's the excitement. That's part of the Great Commission. And that's what we'd like to share with you this evening. There are resources that can help us to engage more effectively with people around us. We'll have a fuller and more complete bookstore in a couple of weeks' time. But have a look on the table at the back there by the coffee, where you'll see a few of InterServe's magazines. They're free. Just take one. Have a look. And there's also this book. I was involved in part of the production of this, and it gives so many more stories of what God's doing amongst different peoples around Asia. Oh, yes, there is a price. But for you this evening, it's not £10, but it's £6. So there is a reduction. So in the coming couple of weeks, we'll be looking more in our series about how we can be involved. But I hope that tonight you've been encouraged about what God is doing and perhaps just got a little glimpse of what God might want to do and what the possibilities might be for you and for us as a church. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful that you have put your hand on our lives. We're so grateful that you've drawn back the curtain and shown us the final chapter of what you intend to do. We're so grateful that the bad news is not the last word, because there is good news and there is a future and there is a hope and there is worship round the throne. And Father, we want to be involved in this. We pray that you will lead us step by step. Take our friendships. Take our conversations. Take our lives. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.